CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Do I sound like a monster?
Yes.
A monster from the deep. That's what I sound like. I'm trying to sound like that today. Kind of frighten people away.
Like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Hello, I'm a monster. I am here as a monster to take you through your morning. Good morning.
Jesus, I gotta tell you.
How many years has he been living in the US and still has a thick accent?
Yeah, well, that's an authentic person right there, because if your language changes that dramatic. I mean, you know those South Africans who, like, they'll go to America for 3 weeks and they'll come back and they've got a thick American accent. That's just bullshit. Arnold Schwarzenegger's proof of that you can live in a country the whole time and you don't lose your accent, especially if you grew up with,
right,
you know, in Austria. That's the way he talks. He's not going to change for anybody. Good for him.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying if you change your accent, and listen, people do. I know that my accent's been more or less the same from childhood. It wasn't really affected much by school, but some people's are. However, you do get to a point where your brain is not as plastic to languages and sounds.
Okay.
And Arnold did not prioritize the sound of his accent when he moved to California. So now he sounds like that.
So what about the likes of a Madonna who was married to Guy Ritchie and they lived in the UK for all of 3 seconds and she had an accent?
She's horrible. Imabuleleyo, can you hear us? Can you talk to us? No, I think I've muted you and now I can't unmute you. How embarrassing. Just leave and come back. This is how we talk to each other now. All right, well, there's been a delay, but we will eventually give you the opportunity of listening to this show live, as you do already, but also watching it live, and we're just figuring out how exactly to do that. So if you've noticed one or two technical issues over the last few days, that has been the reason for it. However,
it's quite an operation.
It's a hell of an operation. Today we have some show for you, let me tell you. We are going to be joined by JJ Cornish a little later on. And he's going to give us a report on all the stuff that's going on in Africa, which is very exciting. So JJ Cornish joins us, and then later on Germ will also join us. He's been censored again by YouTube. I don't know. YouTube seemed to be on a massive mission just ahead of this election, and they're ratcheting up their controls. So we're going to have to see what's happening with Germ. You know, he's a cartoonist.
After already Facebook gave him the boot earlier this year in January.
Yeah, that's right. So now he's developing his whole platform somewhere else. And good for him. You know, one of the reasons I decided to start this, and we'll talk to Germ about this later, so I don't want to shoot my load now, but one of the reasons we decided to start CliffCentral.com is because it's beyond the reach of, first of all, the woke mob, because we're not going to respond to that shit. And second of all, it's beyond the reach of big corporations. And we took a lot of heat from some of our less courageous clients in that first and second year of Cliff Central's existence. And we very quickly figured out who our real friends are and who our friends pretend to be. And I think that's important. That's part of growing up. And as a business, you grow up just like, you know, a human grows up. A person develops their character. And this place will always be, no matter what happens, even if I get hit by a bus, this place will always be one of the few platforms where you can listen and you won't be given censored information. There's no authority that's watching over this and making it difficult for you to get the honest truth. Out of people who are, you know, whether we're qualified in some way, or whether we're just entertaining, whether we're informative, whether we're empowering, or whether we're inspiring, you're going to get those people, and they're going to be in all their magnificent reality. That's all I can
promise. Well, except me in what I say, because I'm guided by the Illuminati.
And the devil, yeah.
Yes.
See, has been paid by the Illuminati and the devil. Hey, Bulelo, how are you?
Yeah, I'm always good. Nice to hear that.
Are you also controlled by the Illuminati?
Definitely. I'm alive on time. Oh. And I've got a credit card and I've got a, you know, so the Illuminati, that's Oprah.
Yes, Oprah.
What's her friend's name? Gail.
You're really pissing Sia off when you go, what's her friend's name? You know that.
Gail's hit the jackpot, huh? Yes, Gail has hit.
That woman lucked out. Let me tell you, you make one friendship, even if she fucking hates Oprah behind the scenes. She can't afford to let go of that.
That is the nipple that'll never run dry, and doesn't Gail know it?
Yeah.
Can I roll my eyes anymore right now?
Good for her.
Yeah.
Well done.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, this morning we've got loads of things on the menu, plenty to talk about, and I'd like to hear from you on 079-748-2090. There are already messages sneaking in. JP says, check out Trump's Twitter feed after being released. I must be honest with you, I don't go on Twitter very much, but I'll do it because you asked so nicely. We're going to see what Donald
Let's see if there's anything there.
Dana J. Trump, well, he is making a mockery of coronavirus. And, you know, it's driving some people absolutely crazy. Look, they've been crazy for a long time. But here he is. Here's Donald talking about...
I just left Walter Reed Medical Center, and it's really something very special. Doctors, the nurses, the first responders, and I learned so much about coronavirus. And one thing that's for certain...
Yeah, what's for certain? Hang on. Donald, we lost you for a second. Did I say that again?
Let it dominate you.
Don't let it dominate
Don't
you.
Don't be afraid of it. You're going to beat it. We have the best medical equipment. We have the best medicines, all developed recently. And you're going to beat it. I didn't feel so good. And 2 days ago, I could have left 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I felt great, like better than I have in a long time.
2 days ago, I felt great, better than I have in a long time. So his message to the American people is this thing is so easily beatable, and you're a bunch of pussies if you fall for the propaganda around it. Now, having gone through what I think is coronavirus myself a few months ago, remember I spoke about it on the show.
Uh-huh.
It felt like 2 days I was really, you know, not great. And then very quickly after that, I made a full recovery. I don't know that I actually had it because I haven't been for the tests. Trump knows he actually had it. And the world knows he actually had it. And he seems to have made a full recovery. What, 4 days, 5 days? That's how long did it take Jesus to rise from the dead?
Oh, tricky one. Tricky one. The theory is a little sketchy there.
Anyway,
it was 3 days, wasn't it?
Yeah, three days.
Thursday or Friday?
Yes, correct.
The real miracle that no one talks about there, resurrection, is who moved the rock? Because whoever you are, to move that rock, is that's the real miracle. Yeah. Coming back from the dead is one thing.
Right. Very good point, Bulalo. Yeah. You know, I wish you'd given Bible ed at school. You would have been a much more interesting teacher than the one I had. Why am I hearing some feedback on one of you here? Are you listening on your laptop or are you listening in headphones? You hear that?
Yeah.
I'm hearing my own voice twice. Very irritating.
Let's see now.
1-2-1-2. Now it's gone away. Who was that? Own up.
I think it might have been me.
Jesus, see how embarrassing.
I know.
Here we are trying to do a professional show.
So yesterday I just for my mere and own amusement, I decided to watch The View.
Oh, wow.
To see how they're responding after this whole weekend of the president in the hospital. My goodness.
Joy Behar's gone totally postal, right?
So firstly, let's just set the scene of, you know, Barbara Walters. Yeah,
so who we got on that show at the moment? Wait, before you give us a complete history of The View, just tell us who's on the show right now, because I haven't watched The View properly. Oh, my God, in 3 years, maybe? I just see clips of it every now and then. I see Whoopi is there, right?
Yeah, she's like the main moderator.
Okay.
And then there's Joy Behar, the woman with the red hair, and she's been there for years
as
well.
The old Yenta, yeah.
Yeah, then they interchange the remaining three spots every couple of days. So
these are the swing cast. All right, so who we got on the swing cast?
They usually have Meghan McCain, John McCain's daughter.
Right.
Her.
Yep.
But particularly yesterday's episode, she wasn't there. There was a Sarah Haynes who does some stuff for ABC on various shows. They have Sunny Hostin, who's an advocate and also
I've seen Sunny.
Media.
She's very attractive. But Sarah Haynes, I wouldn't know her if she jumped out of my Rice Krispies and bit me in my titties. So I have no idea who Sarah Haynes is. Thanks for that. Okay.
And then they have – her name slips my mind, but I'll say she's a woman in her late 40s, mid-50s.
You don't even know who she is.
Latino woman. I might find her name. Yeah, I forgot her.
See, it doesn't know who she is.
No. But it sounded like
– All right.
Man, these Kugels were having a meltdown. And, you know, I respect everyone, sure thing, but there's no better way to explain it. They were having a meltdown on television. Like, the president couldn't have weekend, according to them. It was just everything he did was so horrible.
That Joy Behar is my absolute worst, because she's such a moany, whiny.
Yeah.
You know, she's so – like, she lives in this world of such privilege and disconnection. And she plays this card of, like, she loves the poor people. She cares about the poor people. I mean, she said a while ago when there was that woman, Kim Klasick, who's running for Congress. She's a black woman. And she comes on The View and she says to Joy Behar, because Joy asks her some question like, how can you support the president? How can you support the president? Because she's got this Trump derangement syndrome, which people think isn't a real thing. It's a real thing. And Joy Behar is about to launch into this attack on this Kim Klasick, who's a young black woman who's going for Congress for the first time. Now, you would think, you know what? Let's hear her out. Let's hear what this woman has to say. Joy goes straight for the jugular within seconds of this woman arriving on the show by video conference. And she goes, how could you support the president? She's got this voice like Marge Simpson. She's appalling. She's absolutely one of the least attractive human beings that has ever crawled the earth. And this Kim Klasick says, I'm sorry, is this Joy Behar who once wore blackface? And Joy Behar goes nuclear. You could just see her eyes start to roll around in her fucking head and the steam comes out of her ears. And you could see she's never been spoken to like this in her life. She's used to people of color being deferential to her. Yes, Miss Joy, I clean up the kitchen for you now. No problem, Miss Joy. That kind of shit, right? And she just does not know how to handle this woman. And she starts going at her and she says this line. She says, the black community had my back. And I thought, wow. If you've ever heard anyone claim more than they're allowed to claim, the whole black community got together in a room and they decided we endorse Joy Behar. I don't know if you and Bulela were in that meeting,
yes.
Sia, or whether you heard from the black chapter in America that...
I don't know about you and Bulela. I was double booked for an Illuminati update, so I wasn't able to attend that one.
What a pity. What a pity, because you're our only blacks, you two, on this show today. Pumi's not here, by the way, so she might be in that meeting.
Since we're doing stereotypes, I was late for that meeting as a black person, you know? Yes. So we might as well refer all the way in.
Oh, yeah. Very well done. Anyway, this Joy Behar, she claims that all the blacks in America have always had her back and that she's obviously an ally. And she starts going at this Kim Klasick and she just cuts her off before they've even interviewed her. She gets rid of her. She just dumps her off the show. And I thought, you know, these yenters on the View, and really, I mean, I haven't watched it, so I can't be... I've always liked Whoopi Goldberg. I thought that Whoopi Goldberg was a terrific comedian. I thought she's always been someone who stood up for, you know, having a sense of humor. And one of the things about politics on the extreme left and the extreme right is that people just don't have a sense of humor in those places. And Whoopi's always been, for me, primarily a funny person. And I mean, I don't know what her politics are, but I can't imagine that they're too unpredictable. And this Joy I've spoken about at length, I don't want to carry on talking about her more than I know, and I don't. And then the rest of them, I mean, the Sunny, she's pretty. That's why she's there. Sia doesn't know who the Latina woman is. It's just so racist of him, but that's not unacceptable, you know, on this show. And then you want to say something about Sunny?
an unpopular opinion with Sunny, and she's received some controversy around this. She's half Latino and half black.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
And so,
good creds then.
You know,
on that show, that's
Black
good
Lives Matter. She'll start speaking with more Ebonics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when it's something to do with Latino issues, then she'll go, listen, well, my abuela, when I was growing up, my abuela says to me.
Right.
Okay. What's happened here?
Anyway. So look, if you want to drive yourself absolutely insane, you watch this stupid show. It's like if you had to, if you were invited to lunch at Tash's with your mum's friends, and they were all having a good gossip. But it's worse because these people think they're informed. You know, at least the stuff your mum and her friends talk about isn't the real world. It's usually just some bullshit about, oh, have you heard, you know, Denise has got this going on, and Agatha's happening here, you know, this is happening in Agatha's life or whatever. But these women are like, oh my God, Donald Trump. And you got to hear them to believe it. It's so awful. What a shit show. I've always hated The View. I want to go on record as saying that I've always been someone who's hated The View and The Talk and all those other shows. Yeah. I mean, really, it's not just because I'm a man and I don't care about shows that are hosted by panels of women just crowing at each other, but it's because this show is puerile. There is nothing of substance being discussed there ever.
There's a special place in hell for a certain financial class of woman who has never worked a day in her life and has a certain level of wealth. And there's just, you know, there's that level where they've never heard no. There is a very
You're exactly right.
There's a subsector just below Adolf Hitler where they're going to go because they are unbearable.
No.
It is so sickening.
I think you have time to just edit yourself quickly there.
No, I agree with him. I'm not gonna back down on this one.
They are insufferable.
Yeah, especially if they've worked in the media as a presenter, because then they've also been deferred to by the public and they've been recognized and they think that that's important. Listen, God bless them. I hope that they continue to do The View because it shows you how stupid you can get if you don't have real work. Let's move on.
let's understand, though. Yeah. Let's understand on record that The View has never been the show for hot, relevant, or actual news.
No.
They're just all about commentary. And, yes, they started a format that has now been copied and pasted and works. You know, this people on the table running on and on and on. But when I watched it yesterday, man, it has gone to such a – they've stooped to a new low that I didn't think was possible. Mm. So Whoopi now doesn't even mention the president's name.
All right.
Whenever she has to say his name,
it's become a hate club. It's become a gossip circle for the witches coven.
Exactly.
that is opposed to Donald Trump. It's great. Listen, let's not talk about The View anymore. See, I know you and I could talk about this forever, but most people are just going to think we're like an anti-View hate club. So we'll just move on. Yeah. I got to talk
just
about
calling it what it is.
Yeah, I got to talk about some other things that are happening, but I just thought that would be funny to remark on. So Donald Trump is well. He's been discharged from Walter Reed Hospital, and he seems to be giving the middle finger, not only to coronavirus, which I think a lot of people have overestimated in its danger. Of course, there are people who have died. You know, we've lost 17,000 people here in South Africa. And a lot of people are also confused, including some scientists, by the fact that Africa's had a very low death toll from coronavirus. I think that's worth celebrating. That's not something that we should be afraid of. It may be because we deal with outrageously dangerous diseases on a daily basis on this continent. We might just be tougher stuff. You know, Ebola broke out here. If it had broken out anywhere else in the world, it probably would have taken out more people. So we should pat ourselves on the back. This is where humanity evolved in the earliest of times, and it's where our genes were tested to the nth degree on the wild plains and the savannas. And maybe it is that this continent is just a little bit stronger. We've dealt with the highest prevalence of HIV/AIDS in the world. We have malaria, which we still haven't defeated. And I'll tell you what, let's just give ourselves a pat on the back as Africans that we are strong. And let's also look
at Jacob Zuma.
Yeah, correct. And that's a virus and a half. Jacob Zuma.
That's a pandemic. That's a 276 million rand pandemic. I'm not sure we'll ever
look. 276 million rand. Couple of billion. They actually released
just for the room.
Yeah, they released a report a little while ago that says something like 1.7 trillion rand if you add it all up over those 10 years. 1.7 trillion rand has been stolen from the people of this country.
No, COVID never had a chance. COVID never had a chance with us.
Now that should make everyone who's wearing a mask anywhere in South Africa today think twice about what they really need protection from. And trust me, it's not this virus. I think we're through this thing. Even Zweli Mkhize said so this is not controversial. I think we can just abandon all the pretense now, really. And people are going crazy about Donald Trump didn't wear a mask here and that's why he got it and blah. But so what? He's fine. So, you know, there's that meme, like, but did you die? And in Donald Trump's case, but did he die? No. So stop fucking moaning. Makes you sound like an idiot. And I think this is going to be an enormous boost to his campaign, because there's Joe Biden hiding out in his basement every day with a mask on, even when he's on his own in a room. And he looks weak. He looks weak and he looks feeble and he looks old and he's got a pudding brain. And then you've got Donald Trump, who's like, get me out of this medical center, I'm fine. And he can't wait to get back to work. Guess who people want running things? The latter, not the former, even if Joy Behar protests too much on The View in the opposite direction. So anyway, Bulelo, you have a roommate, you moved houses again, and your roommate took our advice and watched The Norseman, which I've been crowing about every morning.
You've actually slightly ruined my life because now I can't stop hearing about it. I don't want to watch Norseman.
You haven't watched it?
With all due respect, sorry, let me preface it with that. But he says it is the best. And I mean, he's like a solid bloke. It is the best show he's seen in the last 10 years, he says. And he saw Game of Thrones. He loved that.
Okay.
He says Norseman is unbelievable. Best human violence.
Well, screw you for being too good for our recommendations. We won't recommend anything to you. I took a recommendation from Gord the other day and started watching The Boys, which is about these superheroes who actually are pretty awful people. They're assholes. And I'm loving it. It's a great show.
Sanctimony is all I've got left, Gar.
Yeah, all right. Well, you are a sanctimonious asshole. You should be in The Boys. All right, listen to this. I know that it's 10 years ago, but two suspects in a 2010 FIFA World Cup tender scandal have been granted bail. How's that? 10 years after the World Cup, these two who were in a tender scandal have been given bail. They appeared briefly at the Durban Magistrates Court on Monday. The former KwaZulu-Natal police commissioner has been granted 20,000 rands bail, and former police captain Ashwin Narayan Prashad was released on 10,000 rand bail. Gobeni, Narayan Prashad, and two others, including controversial businessman Toshan Pandey, are accused of fraud and corruption relating to a World Cup tender all those years ago. Them wheels of justice, they do turn slow, don't they? SA is to lease state land to redress inequality. Listen to this genius idea. South Africa plans to lease state land for farming in a bid to redress long-standing racial imbalances. Because every black person I've ever met just wants to farm. I mean, Sia, for example, is a perfect, case study. Sia just can't wait to get his hands on the plow. It's so patronizing.
Absolutely.
This idea that every black person is interested in having a farm, you know? And don't get me wrong, in my wildest fantasies, because I grew up on a farm, I'm like, oh, I'd like a farm. But what the hell would I do with a farm? Farming is hard work, and most people are in the cities. They don't have any intention of going off into the country and harnessing up the cattle and getting them to plow the fields. I mean, I don't know where this comes from, but it must be some very strange, very retrograde part of Cyril Ramaphosa and his administration's ideology that they decided that, you know, what we really need to do is just, and we by the way, we won't give them state land because that would, of course, give us less power. We'll lease it to them. So now you have to go to the trouble of having government not only as a landlord, but also as a poor administrator of the tax system. I mean, this sounds like an absolute win. Who wouldn't go for this, right, Mbulelo?
I mean, being from two rural families myself is, by the way, black people are already farming where they are. So please don't patronize people by saying, oh, because you can't even do your main job. Your main job is to look after.
They're revealing their contempt for existing black farmers. You remember during the situation of lockdown, we spoke to a couple of black farmers who were growing tobacco about how the government had almost put them out of work. The government had almost ruined their entire farming business. And now government come along with, oh, no, but we can lease you some land. So they're going to put out some 700,000 hectares of vacant land or underutilized land. He says it'll create jobs. Plots will be available for 30-year lease, providing they're put to agricultural use, starting later this month, according to an announcement last week by the Land Reform Department, who get all their ideas from ZANU-PF.
I just do a spoiler for everybody? Yeah. A shocker. El Presidente and all his friends and their sons will get the tender for all the tractors and things that go there. That's just a little spoiler.
Correct.
Yeah, I'll be shocked. It's going to be a sterile shock.
Here's what El Presidente said. He said, given our history, broadening access to agricultural land for commercial production and subsistence farming is a national priority, Ramaphosa said in a weekly letter to the nation. He's going the Thabo Mbeki route and writing us a letter every week. We know how that ended for Thabo. Anyway, he says the state has already sold or leased 8.4 million hectares of land to previously disadvantaged individuals between 94 and 2018. Only 10% of that is commercial farmland. I would like to know how that is going. How are those 8.4 million hectares of land that have either been sold or leased to previously disadvantaged, in inverted commas, whatever that means, people? I want to know how it's going for them, whether government has actually supported them through the process or whether they've just, here, have your land, now let's see what you do, and then disappeared. Mm. Because our agricultural production has not gone up. That should be the whole story. It doesn't matter if you own land, if you're not making money out of it. Otherwise, it's just costing you money. In other words, you're making people more impoverished, not richer. Anyway, then there's another story. Orange Farm, you know, this is just so disgusting. I don't know if you know the story, but the bail application for the suspect in the Orange Farm murders has been postponed to next week. Ponso Mahlanga is accused of murdering three children in the area. Two young friends, 8-year-old Mpo Makondo and 6-year-old Simpiwe Mfina, were found murdered on the 19th of September after being reported missing a day earlier. 29-year-old Mahlanga, who has also been implicated in the murder in April of a 7-year-old, the body was found in her fridge. In her fridge.
Shucks.
Disgusting, disgusting story. So she appeared in the court and her bail application has been postponed. That's the latest update. Then French media giant group Canal Plus has acquired a stake in South Africa's largest broadcasting business, MultiChoice. The company's share price surged by 8% following the announcement. The French media company now holds 6.5% of MultiChoice. Canal Plus is owned by Vivendi, which also owns one of the biggest record labels in the world, Universal Music Group. I wonder, would you want shares in a record company right now? Considering that music is not making money and that the record company and the record company's role in music has become almost unimportant. I wonder.
I'd have to see whose music do you own from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, I guess, because music now, guys are just releasing. That's probably where the cash is, eh?
What they call the catalog stuff.
The catalog, yeah.
But these days, people go on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Music. I mean, I haven't bought music for years. I have a subscription to Spotify and to Apple Music, and that's what I use.
which is why I say the catalog becomes valuable because Hollywood comes calling for the remake movies.
Right, okay.
Here's 60 mil for a song. Thank you. I'll take 100 mil. Get the hell out of my office.
Well, I don't even know if they have that kind of clout anymore, but there we are. Universal Record Group, Universal Music Group, which belongs to Vivendi, and then Canal Plus. They make some good shows in France, but now they are also shareholders in MultiChoice. Would you buy shares in MultiChoice is a good question. It seems to have given
this might be NASPA's spinning out. Remember?
Well, they've already spun MultiChoice out.
Yeah, remember, they're taking their business to China. Yeah. Mm.
So let's see what happens here. But that's interesting because that is, in effect, an investment in our country. So you know what? Frankly, we beggars can't be choosers, so we'll take it. And then finally, Trump's press secretary tests positive for COVID-19. This woman is just a powerhouse, this Kayleigh McEnany. She smacks the press around in that White House briefing room like they haven't been smacked around for a long time. And she announced that she's positive for COVID-19 3 days after the president was hospitalized with the disease. After testing negative consistently, including every day since Thursday, I tested positive on Monday morning, she said, while experiencing no symptoms. No reporters, press, or members of the press are listed as close contacts by the White House media unit, added Trump's spokeswoman, who was also going into quarantine following the diagnosis. Although she's asymptomatic, which they've shown in many cases all over the world, means largely that you're not the kind of person who passes it on. But we can't be sure of that, so she's taking the precautions necessary. Anyway, this is just making a mockery of all the coronavirus hysteria, because here's a man who, in at least two categories, fits into the comorbidities and risk profile. You know, he's an old man, he's in his 70s, and he's overweight, clearly, Donald Trump, if you look at him. And he seems to be absolutely fine. He's back at work today. So we'll see what happens. But the media are losing their minds, and it's very, very interesting to watch. Entertaining to watch is my take on that. Okay, let's get on to some other things. We've got plenty to discuss this morning. And the things we have to discuss are, fortunately, presented to us by someone who actually knows what the hell he's talking about. JJ Cornish is back to give us the latest news on Africa with some smart and wry analysis. It's part of a new feature that we've launched. We only did one before this, and you can go and listen to that. It's still on cliffcentral.com for your listening pleasure. It's called Africa Analysis, and JJ Cornish will be here in a bi-monthly feature, which is brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. And you can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com and finding this feature, the Joburg Business School, doing some really interesting work. And they're, of course, involved across the continent and are attracting students from across the continent. Now, with each feature, we'll look right into what is breaking on the continent in terms of news as seen through JJ's eyes. And let's get straight into it. JJ Cornish, how are you, sir?
I'm immensely well, thank you.
You don't have COVID like Donald Trump, I hope.
I don't, but I'm prepared to stand on my balcony and remove my mask like El Duce, if that's going to persuade him.
Well, who's he going to infect from his balcony? I mean, let's not be ridiculous.
I don't know. You know, the thing about it, I told you last week, I'm reading or have just read The Plague, Albert Camus' book.
Yes.
On the bubonic plague in Oran, in the second city of Algeria. And, you know, the best line from that book is that stupidity has a way, or has a knack of getting its way. And we're seeing that, aren't we, in this COVID thing. The way people are overreacting, the way Donald Trump himself believes that he is
immune.
Well, he certainly has shown that he has no regard for anybody else but his own, himself and his chances of being reelected. But it really is. It's quite amazing to see how badly he can behave. And the way the press is overreacting is, you know,
it's just
no wonder the
childish.
Eyes are glazing over at it. Huh?
Well, I can't wait. I don't know about you. I can't wait for the election just because I want it to be over and for everything to just move a little bit away from American politics, because I love it. But even I am up to the brim with American politics at the moment, and I just can't take it anymore. I know Donald Trump is remorseless in terms of his attention seeking, but there are actually stories that we need to be paying attention to that we're not, even here at home. So let's get into Africa. Let's just talk quickly about Kenya and Angola and Zambia, because all three of these countries are in some trouble because they owe huge amounts of money to China, right?
Yes, Kenya has this $4.7 billion special gauge railway taking stuff out of the port of Mombasa. But that has been losing money. 3 years ago, it was built with Chinese money, but that's been losing money every single month. Hmm. Now, Kenya's parliament wants to renegotiate the loan terms and slash the costs. They want, 50% of this is Africa Star Railway, and it's costing them, the Chinese Road and Bridge Corporation is charging them $10 million a month to run this railway. They could be the first African country to default on a loan to China. You know, if we believe COVID figures from John Hopkins University, then the Africa owes $143 billion to China.
Sure.
And that's 20% of all African government external debt. China's the largest single creditor to sub-Sahara Africa. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people talking about neo-colonialism. When you speak to the Chinese, they say it's interesting. The only people who call us neo-colonialists are the actual colonialists themselves. You know, they could understand colonialism a lot better than us. No wonder they call it that.
Yeah.
But Angola, sub-Sahara Africa's largest oil producer, or second largest, sometimes when Nigeria falls short, it becomes the largest.
Mm-hmm.
They are $20 billion in debt to China. And they've got to pay $2.7 billion back this year. They've got some debt payment from the EU, but it's becoming excessively burdensome to them. And then Zambia, of course, is embroiled in a $3 billion delay in payments. And they're saying, no, they can't pay right now. And they're another country that could fall into default. They owe China $10 billion.
So these three countries are just three of them, but I'm sure that there are others that also have, maybe slightly less debt. It's kind of a frightening thing to think about how much China has these people by the balls.
It really is. And, you know, China lends money, doesn't have any kind of humanitarian or considerations. They'll lend to anybody.
Mm.
They've lent us money. They've lent a lot of money to Zimbabwe, to countries around. And doesn't matter about human rights records, doesn't matter about the kind of standards that the World Bank and International Money Organization applies or other governments apply. Other governments have withdrawn aid because of we're talking about United States withdrawing some aid to Ethiopia in a minute, but other countries have withdrawn aid because of human rights and because of gay rights and because of other things. China won't do this. They keep lending money, and the thing is, the countries are getting increasingly into hock with China,
right?
And it's a dangerous thing. But
well,
where would these countries get the money otherwise?
Absolutely, but also China understands it's perverse, but China has learned that capitalism can be its best friend if it becomes the banker, and we all know who pays the piper. All these African governments are effectively making themselves proxies for Chinese interests and for resources to go straight on. The reason that they're investing in infrastructure is so they can take the resources straight out. We know that this continent is filled with mineral resources and oil and coal and all kinds of things that China needs, so they're just taking it away.
Absolutely. China talks about mutually beneficial relationships, and that's how it started with the Trans-Zambian railway line and so on, but it's developed into the fact that, you know, I mean, I don't have a mutually beneficial relationship with my bank manager. I just put on my suit with the knee pads when I go around to try and increase my overdraft and hope that when I fall to my knees, I can retain a semblance of dignity. Yeah?
Absolutely. All right. So tell me about this. I'm always interested in this, mostly because I've been a fan of Egyptology and ancient Egypt for the longest time. I know that when they built the Aswan Dam all those years ago, they had to move Abu Simbel, the great temple of Abu Simbel, so that they could build this dam, because the Nile, which is, you know, the biggest river in the world, the Nile is, well, certainly in Africa, is the source of all of Egypt's agricultural land, and not just Egypt, but even the countries further up the Nile, you know, Sudan and Ethiopia and parts of even, the basin where it originates in Rwanda and Burundi and those areas. So the Nile River is a massively controversial thing, and there have been fights throughout history about what to do with the Nile. They're going to build this Blue Nile Dam, which is, I think it's an argument between Sudan and Egypt, but you can correct me where I'm wrong here, JJ. This is, again, a source of some controversy.
Huge. And Gareth, my prediction is that this will be the biggest African story by a long way once Corona subsides. And Corona, of course, is not the big story in Africa that everybody feared it might
That's
be.
That's right.
This is a $4.8 billion project, and it was started in 2011. Now, it's nearly finished, in fact. You know, the dam has started filling with the rainy season, and it has 5 billion cubic meters of water in it already. It's gone to the height of the second turbines, and it will start producing electricity to 68 million Ethiopians within a year. Now, what has happened? There was a deal, and the deals signed on the Nile were with colonial Britain, and they involved Sudan, and they involved Egypt, but they didn't involve Ethiopia. So Ethiopia comes along and says, well, we've got the Nile, Blue Nile, that is, that comes together with the White Nile in Khartoum in Sudan. Mm-hmm. We've got the Nile running here. We are electricity poor. We will become, this is the largest hydroelectrical project on the continent. So we're going to build it. And they've started, and the riparian countries, the countries on the banks down the Nile, Sudan and Egypt, are incensed. Now, in Sudan's case, they do say that it will help some of the flooding, and Sudan is currently experiencing enormous amounts of flooding because of the rainy season. But Ethiopia said the dam will start filling up, and it's going to take about 5 more years. With this rainy season, at the end of the day, there'll be something like 1,000 million cubic meters.
These numbers are just absolutely huge.
1,000 cubic meters per person is what is needed for agriculture. Right. And Egypt has about half of that at the moment. And you said 100, they all their water. In fact, you were wrong. It's not. It's only 92% of their water. But sorry to pick you up. I don't mean to sound pedantic.
Right. Where do they get where's the other 8% from? Is that like desalination or something?
No, I think that's a lot of the droplets of water when people speak to one another. No, it is probably some desalination.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, Egypt, when you say you're an Egyptologist, you know who's the biggest Egyptologist?
Who?
The current incumbent of the White House, and not only Donald Trump, but his predecessors. They give more money, United States, to Egypt than to the rest of Africa combined.
Wow.
So, Not surprisingly, Egypt, one of the first people they went to was the United States, saying, whoa, look at this. You know, they're going to drive us to turn our country into desert. And the United States has withdrawn some of its aid to Ethiopia as a result. And Ethiopia saying, you know, we've been allies since 1911. Are you going to spoil this relationship because of this? As I say, you can see the story developing. They've gone to the Arab League. They've gone to the United Nations Security Council, where Egypt currently supposes that Cyril Ramaphosa, who's the chairman of the council, or is chairman of the AU, and had the chairmanship of the council for 1 month, actually is biased in favor of Ethiopia. I don't believe that to be the case. But the countries like China and Russia that could block a resolution, they too worry about people accessing rivers that flow into their countries. So you can just imagine. I mean, this is lifeblood we're talking about. No wonder it's going to be such a massive story. The latest development is Ethiopia saying no more flights over the dam for security reasons. So I don't know if you try to fly over the dam, whether you're going to be shot down. I don't have my hang glider ready to go give it a try, but if you're flying in a hang glider and wearing a face mask, would they shoot you down? Ask the question.
Just finally, because this is a story that it feels like 100 years ago, but the Kenya mall attack, they finally, and the justice wheels do turn slowly. We know this. I just mentioned that in another story a few minutes ago. But the mall attack in Kenya, obviously, they're expecting these verdicts on Tuesday. Now, this is a very big story, and we want to know what happens, because this is Al-Shabaab, right? These are the...
It really is, you know. Al-Shabaab and IS, the two of them, are all over Africa. You know, there's been an 11-fold increase in attacks by the jihadis, the extremists, Muslim extremists, all over Africa. Mm. We're experiencing it next door in Mozambique, where Mosimbao de Praia, the town, has been held for a month. The head of Total yesterday called on the European Union to help out. They're calling on South Africa to help out in Mozambique. We can't do it militarily. But now the Africans are saying, well, what are you calling on the Europeans for when we should have African solution to African problems? Yeah. Well, African boots on the ground isn't going to cure that one. In Somalia, where they kicked IS out and Al-Shabaab out of the towns, but it can come back at any time it wishes to with indiscriminate acts of terror. In Mali, where they had the coup in 2012, these jihadis are still there. The French have to drive them out, but the G5 of Niger, Burkina Faso, Chad, and Mauritania with Mali are getting money to try and fight the jihadis. It's just they are on the ascendancy, and what they have shown in Kenya is that mall attacks, that four-day siege that killed 71 people. It's 7 years ago. They will have the verdicts today. Probably Kenya is still in a state of turmoil. Just 2 days ago, they had clashes between supporters of Uhuru Kenyatta and William Ruto, the president and the vice president. Wow. And there's elections there in 2 years' time. Is William Ruto going to become the next president? Uhuru Kenyatta doesn't want that to happen, neither do his supporters. So this is all instability around Africa that the jihadis are capitalizing on, and they're doing that very much in terms of the fight against corona. They are taking full advantage of that as well.
JJ, Mbulelo here. Any news on the extradition of the White Widow in and around that?
I haven't read up on that in the last little while, but no, I don't think Mbulelo, there certainly hasn't been any later development on that.
Yeah, I've sort of had forgotten about her. I'm pleased you brought her up, Mbulelo, because she was a very controversial figure at a time, and we've sort of lost interest in her, even though she was supposed to have been one of the main actors in this drama. Well, JJ, I'm sorry that's all we have time for this week, but we will catch up with you again very soon, and thank you for keeping us up to date with what's going on our continent. JJ Cornish and African Analysis, brought to you by the Johannesburg Business School. You can find all of these podcasts on cliffcentral.com. It is about 7:04, and we do have a couple of things we need to get into before the rest of the show proceeds. And we've got an email here, which I thought I'd bring up. This is very, very important. This is from Amy. She says, "Hey, Gareth, Sia, Leanne, and Mbulelo." And she did spell your name right, Mbulelo. "I'm listening to your podvatorial on Casa Italia that you did on Friday, and it's making me smile because my mom and I are also in the process of launching a new business together. She lost her job due to COVID, so this is a new start for her in many ways. My mom and I haven't always had the best relationship, but I've since grown up a lot, and things are much better between us. Hearing Dashan and Bala," that's the two people we had on Friday, "and their new furniture store in Menin," which you can go and find out about on the website, we had them on. She says, "Hearing Dashan and Bala talking about working together is so heartwarming. You can hear the love they have for each other." They're a father and son, by the way. "Thank you for a brilliant show. You guys are so special in a good way. Stay safe, stay sane." I like that a lot more than "stay safe, stay home." "Stay safe, stay sane. All the best, Amy." Isn't that nice?
Cool. Hey, I can identify with her message. Amy, it really means a lot to me to hear that email, because I didn't have the best relationship with my mom because I was an absolute, for lack of a better term, a shithead for the first 25 years of my life.
You were like a feral...
Some might say nothing's changed.
You were like a feral child, weren't you?
Beyond. But I mean, my relationship with my mom now is better than ever. And Amy, I am delighted for you, because I can really, really resonate with that sort of resurrection of a relationship with a mother. So delighted for you, and I can only wish your business the best.
Yes, Mbulelo will give us details at length about how awful he used to be, and his poor mother. She managed to she stuck by him. I mean, that's saying something.
The best,
you know. That's
a second reference to resurrection this morning. Wow.
Yeah. Mm. And my mom loves Jesus, so it's all
perfect.
Full circle.
It's all gone well. That's excellent.
Hallelujah.
JJ's terrific. We got a lot of comments from people about how much they enjoy JJ and the African analysis, which is terrific. Nostalgic comfort. We're being slyly, silently, listen to this. I can't even speak properly this morning. This is from a rebellious Ruth. She says, we're being silently coerced by the East. I've been saying it for years. Oh, conquered, she says, not coerced. What's happened to all those amazing museums and artifacts after all the shit they had in Egypt? Live JJ comforted by hearing his voice again, even stranger, just before 7 a.m. Thank you, Gareth. Great stuff. Okay, so there's compliments to JJ. If you guys ever cancel Blind History, I'll arrange for Sia to be punched in the neck randomly on a Saturday. Loving it, season one. Well done. Since season one. Greg, there's no need to threaten violence against Sia, Greg.
Why me?
Although people respond to stimulus, so that puts that keeps the pressure on, yeah. So fair enough. And Blind History is great. Yeah.
No, I'm an easy target. Try with someone else. At least they'll put up a fight.
That's great. And then I got this from Carol. She says, Whoopi has never mentioned Trump's name, has always called him he who shall not be named. That's what Sia was telling us about The View earlier. And Donald Trump is obese, according to Carol. Call a spade a spade. Is he obese? I think he's overweight. I mean, he seems to be very – that guy has more energy than any overweight person I've ever seen. So I don't know.
He's a considerable figure.
I haven't seen his BMI, but I certainly think he's overweight. I don't know that he's obese. When I think obese, I think of those people who can't move around, you know.
We've mentioned him so much as well on the show, so we might as well – promote this week. So what now, since it's in the bag?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Sia.
I was teeing it up for you.
Okay, you want to do it? Okay, listen, this week it's going to be really exciting. There's someone we've got on the show who hates Trump more than Joy Behar from The View.
Ooh.
But, wow. But she doesn't just hate Trump more than Joy Behar. She's also related to Donald Trump. Her name is Mary Trump. She is his niece.
Dum, dum, dum.
Her father and Donald Trump are brothers. Her father's not dead, but he was Donald Trump's brother, remember? And she, Mary Trump, will be our guest on So What Now this week. And she does not hold back about her uncle. Has no love for him at all. She has called him a white supremacist and a psychopath. And you will get to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. That's Mary Trump this week on So What Now on ENCA, Channel 403, 8:30 p.m. on Wednesday. You don't want to miss that.
It is so good.
And that's all we got time for in this hour. We'll be back in a minute or two. We've also got Germ, the cartoonist, Jeremy Nell, joining us on the line to talk to us about his latest banning from YouTube. The guy already can't go on Facebook anymore. Now he can't go on YouTube either. We'll see what he has done to invoke the ire of Silicon Valley. All of that's coming up next. We'll take your messages, your thoughts, your calls. 079-748-2090.
CliffCentral.com.